The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private. Trusted experts in orthopedic, spine, eye, cancer and cardiology.
This is News Talk.
Let's talk about schools, because teachers, they're worried. There's no point in saying that they're not. Some are more worried than others. So we want to scratch the surface on that particular topic as well and bring in John Boyle, who is the General Secretary of the Irish National Teachers Organisation. John, good morning to you.
Hello, Jonathan. How are you?
I'm all right. John, vested interest here. I have two kids in primary school, so therefore school is very important in our house, as it is in every house. So therefore I'm coming at this from a parent's perspective, just in case I say something wrong that might offend teachers somewhere along the way. But John, maybe you might outline to us how teachers are feeling this morning, particularly in the light of the contact tracing issue that I've just been discussing, or the idea of a lockdown of level 5 looming. How do they feel?
I'd say you're delighted, Jonathan, that the first term has gone so well from the children's perspective, and there was huge work done by ourselves and by everybody really in education to get the schools reopened. And you mentioned their frustration. We were really frustrated at the beginning of this week, because it's now 11 weeks since that roadmap for the reopening of schools was published. And 3 days after that, on the Tuesday after the August bank holiday, we identified the next body of work to be done, and that was just to see if the health services would be up to the mark when a million people went back into schools. So we wrote to Minister Donnelly and Minister Foley at that particular time, and obviously 11 weeks later, when we discovered yesterday at a meeting with NPHET that the testing and tracing system was overwhelmed, and all the stories that you've heard this morning in relation to that, that's really worrying for teachers, because we want to make sure that schools reopen after Halloween, that they remain safe up to Christmas. And I think we're really, really appealing to society generally to do their utmost to support that. And some of the ways you can support that is you go for your second test. You do abide by the restrictions. You don't congregate outside schools in the morning. And that's going to be really difficult for parents. But I suppose most parents now are going to be working from home. So we'd be hoping that their employers would be flexible enough to allow them to go maybe in stages to the school with the children, rather than have in the big urban schools up to 500 parents congregating outside the school at the one time, or afterwards when they're picking up the children. And you know, when you have a school with 500 pupils in it, and most of the Dublin schools would have that number of children, like it is worrying that 2 weeks ago there would have been an average of 7 people in that school infected with COVID-19, and now it's up to 14. So, you know, that's 21 people that are probably still suffering in the one school, and we have got no data whatsoever as to where they are, who they are, what ages they are they staff or are they pupils, and what classes they might be in. So obviously the anxiety in a school would be very, very high if you had 21 children in 21 different classes, for example, and I'm sure parents are very worried about that as well.
We know that the official line from government is that the schools, the rate of transmission in schools is lower. We heard from Dr. Heather Burns last night talking about the positivity rates in schools, which are low compared to the wider rates. And that's a good thing. And that's down to the diligence and the hard work of the teachers. But I was speaking to a teacher last week who told me that there were 4 or 5 people who were out because they were close contacts, not necessarily confirmed contacts. Is that putting pressure on schools right now to maintain a service if you're finding people being taken out because they're close contact, not necessarily COVID cases, because they can't come to school in that scenario?
It is undoubtedly putting pressure on, but I suppose the bigger pressure point is before the children or the adults go home, that they're waiting for 4 or 5 days after there's a confirmation of a positive case before anybody contacts them. And you know, if we're now going to be depending on children's families getting text messages to advise them that they're close contacts, that's not good enough. It hasn't been good enough either that over weekends that principal teachers have had to pick up the phone to families and bring the bad news to them that their child or that maybe the adults themselves are close contacts. And we even had a situation last weekend where principal teachers were asked by totally under pressure HSE staff, asking them to help them out by ringing families to give them the arrangements for the test at the test centre on the Sunday morning. So I mean, government are going to have to step up to the plate here. They have stated that it is their key priority, and we're delighted with that, that they want to keep the schools open. But they're going to have to resource the HSE, and they're most likely going to have to resource schools as well, because when you look at the budget that was put aside for school safely reopening, it was all based on the level of infection in the community around the end of July. But, I mean, unfortunately, since then, things have really gone for the worse. And I would imagine that in relation to PPE, in relation to giving assurances to teachers who have high risk, you know, we need medical evidence to show why government has still decided that people who are high risk or pregnant will continue to go into the workplace when the country's at level five. So there's a lot of work to be done in the next week. But I have to say, I'm really thrilled since our statement on Monday that government has now decided that there will be weekly meetings between NPHET, the teacher unions, school management and the Department of Education. And it's at those meetings that we made such progress to get schools open. So it's really critical that they would continue and ensure that the supports are there for schools.
John Boyle of the INTO is speaking to me here on Newstalk. John, the other question that has arisen is that when schools reopened, there was no one they could ring if they had an issue. Has that been resolved? Is there any point of contact for school principals if they have a concern about a case in the school and that they need advice?
Well, we'll reserve judgment. But again, I suppose after our criticism yesterday morning, within a number of hours, the Minister Foley had confirmed that there will be school-based teams appointed to the HSE in every HSE area.
But the school, I don't want to give out about a minister who's not on the line to defend herself, but we're 8 weeks in, and now we're talking about that, as opposed to having this in place before now.
Well, in fairness, you know, we identified that on the 4th of August. We wrote to those ministers when we didn't get the traction. We then escalated it up to Taoiseach. And then Taoiseach regrettably said at the end of October, that at the end of August rather, before schools opened, that he didn't feel that this would be necessary. But a lot has been learned since then. The rate of infection has increased dramatically in schools in the last week. So it's a timely intervention now. It's certainly necessary. And we've been assured from the 2nd of November that these teams will be in place. And my big ask, I suppose, is that whatever teams are put in place, that they wouldn't be working the normal hours, that there would be well enough resource to make sure that if a family get a contact from HSE at 11 o'clock on a Saturday evening, that the principal teacher then doesn't have to kick into action all day Sunday, because our principal teachers have given so much and they need to be able to support their school communities on a Monday morning rather than spend the weekend dealing with HSE contacts.
What parents hear a lot of, and whether it is justified or not, and I don't know whether the INTO can be accused of this, is strike action being threatened and teachers closing schools and all of that negative connotation that I think is completely unhelpful. Are you confident, John, that that won't happen, that there will be no march to the picket line for whatever reason, whether good intentioned or otherwise, that would put pressure back on families and parents?
I'm confident now with the traction that we've got in the last 48 hours that government now realises that there's a serious issue with the education system, that the rate of infection is beginning to increase dramatically, and that they will put measures in place to keep the staff and the students safe. But we'll just have to review everything as it goes along. In fairness, you know, there was a resource package put in August. It worked reasonably well for September, but into October, it's been a downward spiral. If we're to keep schools open, we need to protect the staff in the school. I mean, every child knows that there's no point in going to school if their teacher isn't in a position to be teaching them, if their teacher has huge trepidation around the rate of infection in the school. So we will be engaging with our members throughout the next month to see how things are going. And if it's necessary that government has to change their approach to the schools being fully reopened to make sure that society generally stays safe, if it means that schools have to go on to, you know, half the children being in at any given time, these are measures that will have to be kept under consideration. But we want to keep the schools open. We've worked constructively for months to do it. And I'm sure if government step up to the plate, there'll be no issue between us. It's better that we would work together than against each other.
Well, isn't that the truth? John Boyle of the INTO, thank you very much for that. Now on the line is Tiernan O'Neill. He's the principal of Corpus Christi Primary School, which is in Moyross in Limerick. Tiernan, you're welcome to the Pat Kenny Show. Good morning.
Thank you, Jonathan, and good morning.
What's it been like for you, Tiernan? Because you're one of those hard-pressed principals that John referred to, who's been working weekends, who didn't really have much of a summer trying to get the school ready. And I think your school is a DESH school as well, so that brings with it added responsibilities. What's the front line like for you?
I'm delighted to hear and listened with keen interest to what John had to say there, and glad to see that there's movements, shall we say, in the right direction. But again, I suppose just to, John mentioned schools reopening in September, and again, you've alluded to it there, Jonathan, schools never really closed. Again, we were a DESH Band 1 school, and when the children left here on the 12th of March last, I suppose we straight away got into gear with regards to the rollout of the school meal programmes. We had to fundraise and deliver kind of digital devices to families that unfortunately were, I suppose, emblematic almost of the digital divide that's out there with regards to online learning. We ran summer programmes. So in essence, we never really closed. But I think from our perspective now, when you see the ramifications of that lockdown when we didn't have children in the school, you know, we can't close. It's not about, you know, wanting to close. We just cannot close at this stage. But what we do need, Jonathan, is we need appropriate measures put in place to ensure we can remain open in a safe and sustainable manner. And sadly, the silence of the department is deafening. And no matter, I suppose, what fancy terminology we're using, such as bubbles and pods, our schools are overcrowded, underfunded, and are now dealing with a global pandemic on a wing and a prayer.
Your school, as I mentioned, is a DESH school. Is it very important for you, do you think, to keep that school open for continuity in those kids' lives?
Absolutely. And Jonathan, the reality is, like many communities around the country, this is a community that is, I suppose, synonymous with a lot of the societal ills that impact on 21st century Ireland. And you have children right across this country that are dealing with homelessness, they're dealing with addiction, they're dealing with mental health issues. And, you know, if we were to return to lockdown, you know, how can you expect a young mother with maybe three or four children in emergency accommodation, could be in a one-bedroom hotel room, trying to engage with online learning? It's pie-in-the-sky stuff, Jonathan. Like, as I said, we have to remain open. We have to remain open in a safe and sustainable manner. Like, we don't need patronising soundbites from the department about the great job we're doing. What we need, as we now enter level 5 restrictions, is solution-focused responses that enable us to ensure the safety of our entire school communities. And, you know, huge credit needs to go to the children, parents, teachers, secretaries, caretakers, SNAs, you know, the boards of management for what they've done keeping the ships afloat. But, you know, we're rapidly heading for an iceberg. And, you know, we need a really clear response now from the Department of Education.
Without going into detail, because obviously there are privacy rights of people involved, but have you had interactions with the track and trace or testing system? And what has that been like for you?
Look, the reality is, Jonathan, the government, again, look, they failed to deliver a fit-for-purpose, fast-track, school-specific testing and tracing system. I've been left in the invidious position of contacting staff and parents at weekends and at night time, making public health decisions that I'm in no way qualified to make. Like, the system is completely overwhelmed, and you are dealing with phenomenal people in the public health system, brilliant people, but it's increasingly obvious that the public health precautions for school communities, they're totally inadequate, and the system is just literally totally overwhelmed.
Mm. Do you have confidence in it now? Because we've had this wobble. And look, they owned up to the wobble. And we know from across the water what happens when you don't own up to mistakes when they do happen. I mean, are you confident now that you're going to be able to reopen after midterm break, that you're not going to have other issues that will have arisen because cases continue to rise where you are in Limerick, where I am in Cork, where people are listening around the country? Are you confident you're going to be able to open safely? Will you be able to look your staff in the eye and say it's okay to go into that classroom?
Jonathan, you mentioned like the word wobbling there. Like, we're wobbling last March. You know, this was flagged. And when I think back in it now, if you remember last March, there was a HSE campaign under the tagline "On Call for Ireland," and there was a lot of media traction with regards to the fact that 50,000 people responded to that over 3 days, and they were to support the tracing system. Like, was that ever followed up on? You know, because we are now in a level 5 context, which is an extraordinary context, and schools are doing incredible work across the country. But sadly, the work being done by schools in this extraordinary context, for me, is not matched by an extraordinary solution-focused response from our government. And as I said, we have to reopen. But I am not confident in the systems and the measures that are in place. And what we haven't done in the last 8 months, I don't know how we're going to do in the next 7 to 10 days to allow schools to safely reopen come the 2nd of November.
Is this taking it out, Niall Tiernan? You're an educator. You went in there. You wanted your term to be the same as every other principal, that you go in, you make a difference in these kids' lives, you send them on, you deal with your staff, you deal with the issues that arise about the leaky roof, maybe a new building and everything that's like it. This isn't what you signed up for, Tiernan. Now that you're in the middle of it, what impact is it having on you personally?
Well, Jonathan, I'll be honest with you, I think it is what we signed up for, in that we're here to improve life outcomes for the children in our care. And if you were to walk down the corridor here at the moment, and it's the same in any school in this country, that the warmth, the love, the empathy, the compassion that is literally flowing out of rooms, it's absolutely phenomenal. And it's powerful to be part of, and to see the support we're getting from parents, the support we're getting from the wider community. It's absolutely amazing. But the one place we're lacking the support from is our government. That's where we require the support from now. Schools can do no more. Parents can do no more. The children just are craving, and were just so delighted to return to school. The excitement here on the first day back, it was powerful stuff. And that phenomenal work continues. And it's not just about supporting children's academic competencies, Jonathan. It's about supporting children emotionally and socially as well. And that, for me, is the big learning from this. Just to see the importance of schools in terms of the promotion of mental health and ensuring that children continue to thrive. And for that to happen, we cannot return to online learning. You know, when you see the care, the compassion, the empathy of children, of the teachers, and how they, I suppose, coax and cajole children through this pandemic, that cannot happen via a screen. And don't get me wrong, you know, technology has been fantastic. It has transformed education. But at the end of the day, what's education about? It's about relationships. And that is absolutely key. And it's been further amplified by this pandemic. And we cannot develop those relationships via tablets and laptops. It has to be done with the children here on site. But for that to happen, Jonathan, we need clear protocols that enable us to move forward within this once in a century pandemic.
Tiernan O'Neill, look, we salute you. We thank you on behalf of all the parents of Corpus Christi Primary School in Moyross in Limerick, and all the parents of all the students who are in school today, thanks to the efforts of people like you. Tiernan O'Neill, thanks very much for joining us, Tiernan.
Take care.
I mean, if that doesn't sum it up, right? I mean, I'm here. As I said, I have a vested interest. I am a parent of three kids who are all in school right now. One in secondary, two in primary. And if they couldn't go back to school in September, I don't know what we would have done as parents, because we would have failed those kids, because they weren't getting the proper education. We were not teachers. And if nothing else, the pandemic has taught us the value of teachers. And tired old tropes have been pushed out, maybe with the wrong intention of, oh, teachers are going to strike and teachers are going to do this. I have to say, listening to John Boyle and Tiernan O'Neill in that first segment of the programme, we have to support them. We have to say that they're right. When we hear about breakdowns in test and tracing, that's going to impact the schools. That's going to impact the priority the government has set out, which is keep the schools open. And if there was ever a clearer reason as to why we all have to stick to level five, I think those two gentlemen have articulated way better than I possibly could.
The Pat Kenny Show.
With Mater Private. Trusted experts in orthopaedic spine, eye, cancer and cardiology.
This is News Talk.